You are listening to a Banzai Retro Club podcast. Language and topics may not always be appropriate for younger listeners. Press 1 for a groovy topic from the 1970s. Press 2 for an awesome topic from the 1980s. Or press 3 for a slamming topic from the 1990s. Please choose now. Too late. We have made your selection for you. Let's start the show.
And recording again.
Sweet.
Well.
All right. And then timer.
This is 80 something podcast.
Banzai!
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 Hey, where's the meat?
I don't think there's anybody back there.
You or any of your family ever seen a spook, specter, or ghost?
If the answer is yes, then don't wait another minute. Pick up your phone and call the professionals. Go Ghostbusters! Our courteous and efficient staff is on call 24 hours a day to serve all your supernatural elimination needs.
We're ready to believe you!
And now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
G.I. Joe!
Be it to each other. And party on, dudes!
Hey, this is Dave, and you are listening to Banzai Retro Club Podcast. We really do appreciate you doing that. Online, I have got Suzanne.
Hi.
So, Suzanne and I, we're going lone wolf here tonight because Rose and Scott, for various reasons, can join us. So, it's just the two of us. And what we're going to do tonight is we're taking a different take on what we did before with Icons. Where we talked about a specific actor and we went through some filmography, we're taking that in a little different angle where we're focusing on TV shows, but we're not necessarily focusing on the actor that helped put that character to life, but more around the character itself. So this is my harebrained idea. Suzanne decided that she's going to go along with the ride, so thank you for that. Thank you for playing along.
Sure, yeah. I needed something to entertain myself today. And, you know, have to keep doing, like, fun things.
Yeah, you're like, you know, screw it. Dave's got an idea. I'll just go with that. So.
What the heck? Yep. We always have fun.
Yep, true. We do. So my take is probably a little bit different than what you were thinking, which I thought was really fun because I was – when we were doing the message around topic ideas, I kept it purposely vague so that I kind of had the opportunity to go a different direction than, you know, what would be the obvious. Okay. I'm actually going to focus on the leader of the Thundercats, Lion-O.
Okay.
So for the uninitiated, Thundercats was a 1980s cartoon that was on. The voice actor that put together Lion-O brought life to Lion-O with his voice was an actor named Larry Kenney. On our previous 80s Reboot Overdrive, I had the opportunity to interview Larry Kenney and found out that he had a wealth of other acting opportunities. He was even the bird in the Coco Puffs commercials.
Really?
Yeah. So I thought that was hilarious. And then he's done like a ton of other stuff as well. But I just thought that he is so fascinating, to listen to, and he could do like the voices at just a snap of the finger, be able to switch voices. So all those guys are immensely talented to be able to do that. But going back to what he gets his credit for, the character of Lion-O. So for those that aren't familiar with Thundercats, like I said, it was a pretty popular cartoon back in the 80s. I forget exactly how many seasons it was going on. But the it was an interesting premise where you had the Thundercats leaving their planet of Thundera, and each of them had been kind of given certain powers that they had, you know, gotten with weaponry, and they had their own abilities. Like one was a architect and kind of an engineer. The other one was kind of the muscle, but also an engineer in his own rights. So they all had like a different skill set. And the interesting premise with Lion-O was that he was actually a young boy when they started their journey across from their planet that had basically blown up, you know, to what they call Third Earth, which is supposed to be kind of Earth, but they call it Third Earth because it's the third planet from the sun.
Okay.
Yep. So Lion-O, they started that journey and Lion-O was a boy, but there was like a crack or something in his chamber where they were asleep during part of their journey. I forget the reason why they had to go into these cabinets, you know, for falling asleep. And for some reason, his had kind of a crack. And during the passage of time where no one else aged, he aged into a man. So you had basically a boy in a man's, a big cat's body. So a lot of the character was interesting to me as, you know, at that point it was, you know, I was young teenager, you know, to see this man who basically had the thought processes of a boy, you know, and trying to adapt to being the leader of this group, you know, and he kind of became the leader because that was kind of his birthright, or, you know, the right of secession, or whatever you want to call it. So he was kind of the leader. And there was even a trial episode where they had like two different parts of this one episode where he actually had to battle the other Thundercats in order to retain his rights as their leader. And I guess it's just something that they do as part of their custom. So, you know, the one that's really fast, Chitara, she, you know, he had to beat her in a race. Panther, who was the muscle guy, he had to beat him in a feat of strength. The other one is kind of known as for cunning and guile, so he had to kind of outwit him. So it was a lot of things like that. It really was interesting to, you know, watch this, you know, boy that is a man now be able to get through all of that and be successful. So I just love the premise of the show. I love the character. I've always been a big fan of Thundercats. In fact, on the limited space I have on my wall here, I've got like three different art prints. Well, not necessarily three different art prints. I have two art prints and then the picture of Christy McNichol that she signed. So I've got that up there. But then, you know, right here to my left, I've got Thundercats, and right there in the middle is Lion-O holding the Sword of Omens, which is basically his, the Eye of Thundera is in the hilt of the sword. And then he can also use that to do different things, like he calls it sight beyond sight, where he can kind of see something on a limited basis that where he's not actually there. Or he can actually call you Thundercats by, you know, thunder, thunder, Thundercats, ho! And then the signal, like, blasts up in the air, and then the other ones know to come to him.
But so is there just, like, a very limited group of Thundercats, or is it just, like, the whole civilization, you know, took off into space to find a new world or something?
They had limited Thundercats that were there. The ones that I kind of went through, there was Panther, Chitara, Tigra, Snarf, Wally Cat, and Wally Kit. And that was kind of their, you know, the main group. Every so often, there would be, like, characters that would get introduced. Like, you know, someone else that may have been lost, you know, in space or whatever, and they would show up and take part. So, you know, there was things like that. But more or less, it was really just that core group. The other interesting thing is on their Third Earth, they had these mutants that were trying to pretty much stop the Thundercats from kind of, you know, I wouldn't say taking over, but, you know, trying to I don't know, just be, you know, jerks like you would. And there was this guy, Mumra, who was really bad. And he's actually very scary for a boy to watch. It was like basically a mummy character that would use evil ancient forces to be, to be like the ever powerful for a limited time. And by the way, they really had, that was kind of weak sauce for their, his weakness. His weakness was basically showing him his reflection. So I thought, I could have done something a little better with that. If I was going to have a badass character like that, I would give something a little better than, you know, see his reflection as weakness. But what can you do? Mm. So it was basically that core group. So I take it you've never watched it.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can kind of tell by my response, I've never seen this show whatsoever in my whole life.
Did you watch any 80s cartoons?
I've heard you talk about it. Not a lot, because I was in college in the 80s, so I wasn't really watching cartoons.
That doesn't stop somebody from watching cartoons. Come on.
Well, I didn't have a TV. I don't know. I guess I'm not really remembering much from the 80s cartoons. Like, I maybe saw a few in the background here or there. And my roommate from college had Strawberry Shortcake sheets, so
does that count? Love it. Love it. Smurfs. You've got to say you've watched Smurfs.
Smurfs. I haven't sat down and watched them. I've seen the cartoon, you know, here and there.
Okay.
But, you know, I don't really know much about them. I have to say, I guess that's a gap in my 80s expertise is is cartoons of the 80s. Cartoons of the 70s I'm probably big on.
Okay. Yeah. So if I went down the road of, like, Scooby-Doo and stuff there. Like that, then you'd be, you'd have a little bit more there. Okay. Right.
And Penelope Pitstop and McGilla Gorilla.
Oh, okay. Yep. All right.
Well, the whole this Bazinga, just like the whole ball of wax.
Yeah.
But the 80s, I guess I lost touch with the cartoons. I remember like Cabbage Patch Dolls.
Oh yeah.
Cartoons, but sure. You know, big kitty phase or a trend. This sounds kind of cool, like a cartoon Star Trek almost, where they're out there.
kind of, but they're stranded, so they really don't have where they're going on travels around to other planets around the Third Earth. They're really just stuck on Third Earth, and they're really trying to make the best of, that world.
Do the Earthlings know that they are aliens, or they're just blending in or trying to hide?
You know, really, you know, for an 80s cartoon, they really didn't address that. It was just kind of and they had a lot of oddball characters that lived on Third Earth. So it wasn't like you would say, you know, oh, these are these humans that live next door. You know, it was more like they had this one race that was next to them called Burbles. And they were actually, I want to say, robot teddy bears. So think like if they're living next to like the Ewoks or something, that's probably what, you know, you would relate those to. They had this design that Tigra, I don't want to say it was Tigra, who designed Cat's Lair, which is basically their fortress, stronghold, whatever you want to call it. They actually enlisted the aid of the Burbles to help them build that Cat's Lair. I don't want to say a castle because it kind of is, but it's not. It's actually one of the coolest 80s toys that I never had. Was this Cat's Lair. And what it basically, they called it like the eyes of the cat's head that was at the top of this was supposed to have lasers, but basically they're just two red lights.
Close enough.
Yeah, close enough for an 80s toy.
I think I remember the toy. I think I remember seeing the toy.
Okay. Yeah, it's like basically a building with a
cat head on it.
Yeah, with a cat head. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm remembering the right yep. toy then, I think.
Yeah, and you know they had something they called the Thunder Tank, and that was really cool too. And honestly, I didn't have any of the toys, but I think I had gotten past the age where I was like collecting toys, but you know, I was aware of what was on the market, and I was like, oh, that's really cool. But, you know, it's not, you know, by then I was playing with my Apple IIe and interested in girls. So it's not, you know, it's yeah. bad enough I was watching Thundercats, let alone, you know, to say, oh, I've got all my toys here. You can't touch them. Yeah. Yeah, no, I had pretty much hid those stuff from my room as I'd gotten older. and luckily I'd still kept my Empire Strikes Back action figures. But yeah,
that's nice. Yeah, you still have them.
I still have those. I have the Darth Vader collector cool. case with all the figures. Some of them are missing some of the accessories, like guns and, you know, like I think Yoda had come with a cane, and I don't have the cane anymore, but I do have the snake that goes around his his shoulder.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
So yeah, I still got those down in my basement.
I have a couple of I have like a small vintage doll collection.
Okay.
Nothing spectacular, but things that the ones that were dear to my heart are here. Little Kittles dolls. There's a Dawn doll. There's the little dolls that came in perfume bottles. There's the Dancerella doll that was a ballerina, and you'd hold the crown on her head and she'd spin around.
Now, do you display them or do you just keep them?
Yeah, they're here in my office.
Oh, okay.
They're here in my office, yeah.
Awesome. Because I think a lot of people that have collectibles like that, they might like store them away and just keep them protected. For me, I think, you know, I want to take them out of the box, and I want to be able to look at them. And, you know, it's not like I interact with them. It's not like I'm, like, setting them up on my desk and, you know,
no. Like Dark Helmet plays with this.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, and some of them people bought me because I had, you know, we had had conversations like this about, oh, yeah, I love that toy, the Harmony doll with the red hair and the highlights in it. And she played guitar, and her amp had a little record in it where that she could play, and her arm would move, and she'd, like, strum. She's just, like, the greatest doll.
Yeah.
So my sister-in-law bought me the doll for my birthday or something.
That's awesome. It's just
a ridiculous display of love.
That is sweet.
But she's here, you know, Harmony is here, too, in my office.
Okay. Yeah, and it's kind of like my artist print of Thundercats. You know, it's just, you know, one of those things that's such a great memory. And it's like, you know, I'm at the age now where I just display that stuff loud and proud. In fact, I was over at C2E2, which is a comic book convention here in Chicagoland area, and I told my daughter, who is the one that goes with me to these conventions. I'm like, if I come across like a polo shirt, you know, like a zip up hoodie with Thundercat logo on it, I'm buying it. I did not, but if I would have came across one, I would have, you know, I would have definitely put some money down for that. And by the way, I'm probably one of the coolest dads in the world because she left with a sword.
Wow.
No,
that is pretty cool.
Not an actual sword.
It's
a foam sword. But it looks legit, and she's big into Zelda, and I forgot the name of the sword because I don't play Zelda. Everybody listening, sorry to shock you on that. I guess there was this one that was a Zelda sword, not the main sword, but like one that you have to go through certain missions to earn. We actually spent the rest of our day walking around with a sword, which was really kind of cool. And it's kind of really
neat,
you know,
stuff.
Yeah.
Neat stuff.
Yeah, exactly. and the funny thing is that she's got she's in karate, and she's actually soon to be graduating to a black belt in karate. And it's very impressive. She had actually, for a little bit, was learning a kata that involved using a sword. And I'm like, next time you do that, you've got to use that sword. So, Zelda sword.
Definitely.
Yeah.
How old is she?
She's 11.
Nice.
Yeah. She's been doing it.
So she's getting a black belt at 11. That's pretty good. Yeah. My daughter has a black belt in Taekwondo, but she didn't start till she was 11.
Oh, okay.
She got the black belt when she was 18.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay. So 7 years. Nice. Okay.
Yeah.
I wish I could remember the age that she started, but it feels like I've been taking her to karate lessons forever. But that's a good thing because she stayed with it. Everyone else had, like, dabbled in it. Like, mm-hmm. you know, I would, you know, my first daughter, we had started it together, and I got to just about the, what did I get? Orange belt? Yeah, maybe orange belt. And then I was like, ah, I'm done. And she had gotten to like a green belt. She was done. My son never got past white belt. No, he got yellow belt. That's right. And so, yeah, we all like nibbled at it, but didn't commit. But it's so cool to see, you know, my youngest.
She went for it. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Just going all the way.
Good for her.
Yeah, and her sensei even said, he goes, what normally happens is people get to the point where they're in their high brown belt and they don't commit to all the way because they like they talk themselves out of it for some reason. Like it's mm-hmm. a mental game where it's like, I don't deserve it or something. And he goes, don't be one of those people. You're close.
Yeah, that's Veronica went it. On and she did. She was an instructor for a little while for her sensei after she got the black belt. So
that's
she
so cool.
She hasn't continued since she didn't continue too much after college.
Okay,
but she did that for a while. Yeah, it was nice, and it makes me feel much better knowing she can take care of herself. You know, better than the average chick out there. You know.
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, in this modern age, that's a skill set to definitely have.
Mm-hmm.
That or pepper spray, one of the two.
Yeah, I use the pepper spray. Well, I haven't ever actually used it, but I have, you know, I do carry it with me when I need to.
Okay.
I have on occasion.
So, was there anything about Thundercats that you've ever wondered about that maybe I can answer?
I hadn't heard of Thundercats until you told me.
Oh, really? Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's... That is bizarre. I really thought it was more. No, I just thought it was more popular than that, because I know a lot of people know He-Man.
Okay, I know He-Man.
Sure,
I remember He-Man.
Right.
And I remember like
G.I.
seeing
Joe?
That around more. G.I. Joe definitely goes way back. My brother had G.I. Joes.
Okay. See. All right.
Yeah.
Damn it. Should have picked one of those guys to talk about.
Let's see. I'm kind of equating this a little bit with C-Lab, or was that much later?
C-Lab.
Or maybe C-Lab was more of like a cartoon for grown-ups.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that one.
But I had one of my friends, her father was one of the voices on C-Lab, so I was wondering if there was any. He was one of those voice actors who, well, not just a voice actor, he did Broadway also, but
okay.
He was one of those voice actors that, you know, really... It did a ton of different stuff and was kind of known for this funny part on C-Lab, but I guess it's not comparable though.
I gotcha. Well, you know, I to me, I thought tonight was going to be fun because at least I will have a title of an episode called Lion-O. So it's going to be out there with that and you know with my love of Thundercats and I'm not ashamed. So that's awesome.
Well, good for you. You got to commit.
Got to commit. Yes. Yeah. I mean, there's the argument can be made as the one that runs really fast. Her name is Chitara, uh-huh. and there's many a boy that had a crush on the way she was drawn.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So okay. I could have went that way, but I chose to you know to talk about the leader. You know, and I guess if I had the opportunity to have one of these, if I had the opportunity to talk about this again, who knows if I would go talking about Chitara, maybe I would, or Panther. He's kind of the bald, haired looking guy with the nunchucks.
Mm.
They're all pretty badass. The only one I really don't like is Snarf. And he's more of a sidekick character than anything.
That sounds like it.
Yeah.
You know, when your name is Snarf.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know, he's the Scrappy-Doo of the Thundercats. And those that remember Scrappy-Doo from Scooby-Doo, you know, some people like him, but not me. All right. Well, you know, my 20 minutes is up. So in order to wrap this up, I just want to remind everybody, we do have a website that's out there. That's BonsaiRetroClub.com. As a person that takes care of that, I've been kind of neglectful of doing some updates to it, so I do have to get around to doing that. on that website, you're going to get links to our social media, and the ones that we're really active on is our Twitter and Instagram somewhat, and Facebook. So if you can go out, do us a favor, and interact with us using those methodologies, that would be really super cool. We also have a email address. That's mcfly@bonsairetroclub.com. So shoot us any of your commentary. If you have thoughts about the Thundercats, I would love to hear them. So please go ahead and send that over. Suzanne, you're doing some awesome stuff online. What do you? How do people find you?
Well, I'm at Suze Mattaboni on Twitter and SuzanneMattaboni.com if you want to take a look at the blog. And SuzanneMattaboni80s on Instagram.
Sweet.
3 minutes to remember. Yeah. Yep.
Cool. Yeah, if anybody that needs help on spelling Mattaboni, it's straight out of Mattaboni. So you should be able to find it.
M-A-T-T-A-B-O-N-I. Hey, I haven't spelled it in a while.
We're not doing the spelling thing. We're not spelling bonsai. We're not spelling Mattaboni.
Okay. You brought it up.
I know. It was a joke. At least I didn't talk about cod pieces.
But you had to stick it in there at the end. No pun intended.
Yes, exactly. In the end. Well, that's not where you wear the cod piece. That's on the other side.
That's true.
Yep.
You're going to stick it somewhere.
Yeah, hold on. I need to adjust mine. Hold on. There you go.
Oh, God. Okay.
All right. Well, it always gets a little bunched up as we're talking. sorry. That was just inappropriate. Nobody call HR. Sorry. Yeah. All right, so with all that being said, we want to remind everybody, please be excellent to each other and have a good whatever. Bye.
Bye.
This has been a Bonsai Retro Club production.
Bonsai, Daniel-san!
Hey, Bonsai!
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 Bonsai!